I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we've been saying, today is commonly called Good Shepherd Sunday in the life of the church. And there are several wonderful verses from today's lectionary lessons from which a preacher might choose to preach. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths. Thou hast set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall fear no evil. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand runs away, but I lay my life down for the sheep. And the one I'm going to preach on this morning, don't worry, I'm not preaching on them all. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. This morning, I want to talk to you about membership. 14 months ago, some of you may recall, I preached a sermon about membership here at Broadway. And I told you that though our spirit is very ecumenical here, and even our practice of receiving people has been very open and welcoming to those who come from other Christian traditions, our bylaws say that you have to be a Baptist in order to truly be a member here. I said that I thought those bylaws needed to be amended in order to reflect our actual church spirit and practices. In spirit and in practice, we welcome everyone in the name of Christ at this church. But our bylaws say that one can only become a member by the following. A, upon the person's public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and his or her personal Savior, and baptism by immersion. Or B, upon receipt of a letter of dismissal and recommendation for the person from another Baptist church of like faith and practice. Or C, upon the person's statement affirming previous Christian experience, including profession of faith in Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, and by baptism, by immersion, and when coming from another denomination, a statement of commitment to Baptist beliefs and practices in accordance with the Scriptures as interpreted by the members. Now, that as interpreted by the members may give us a little leeway, but the clear meaning of the text straight out says you've got to be a Baptist in order to truly belong here. You've got to be a Baptist in order to receive all the rights and privileges of membership, whatever the privileges may be. That really hasn't been our actual practice as a church for a long, long time. And 14 months ago, I said so. And we began working on some proposed changes to our bylaws, only then to be interrupted by COVID-19, which did not seem to care at all whether you were a truly Baptist or not. 14 months later, I am circling back because very intentionally we have identified one of the desired outcomes of our ACT Council as a change to our bylaws in order to be explicitly welcoming to Christians of any and all kinds into full membership in the body of Broadway Baptist Church. Now, before I go on, let me say I really like what Steve Shoemaker came up with after he left here as pastor and became the pastor at Myers Park Baptist Church in Charlotte. They were having these same discussions and started referring to themselves as an ecumenical church in the Baptist tradition. We are in the Baptist tradition. We baptize upon confession of faith. We have our own local church autonomy. We do not have bishops that we have to answer to. And I am accountable to the people in the pews, not the Pope, in Rome. These are good old-fashioned Baptist principles, and they are indeed what make us and keep us a Baptist church. But we are also an ecumenical church, meaning that we know, as the old hymn says, there's a wideness in God's mercy, and there is a beautiful breadth in Christ's body. Tony Campolo used to joke, you don't have to be a Baptist in order to go to heaven. Amen? But why would you take the chance? There is more than just a little chance that a lot of Baptists are going to be very surprised when they see just how many rooms there are in heaven. And in the house of heaven, if there, why not here also? I mean, it is already our spirit, and it is our practice. Should it not also be our official policy? If for no other reason, so that the preacher doesn't have to hem and haw up here when somebody walks the aisle and says they were baptized, but as a baby. That's not fair to me. It's not fair to them. We need to decide this. And let us decide it once and for all. In the church of my boyhood, the first meeting they had when they were just getting started as a congregation was about whether or not to open the communion table to non-Baptists. They were going around and around on the question when suddenly there was a knock at the back door where my great uncle, Roy Bass, stood and called out, "I'm Paul of Tarsus." He said, "I'm not a Baptist, but I would like to come and sup with you. Will you welcome me to your table?" They say that the meeting was over right then and there. The church had decided the table would be open. We have an open table at Broadway. I think we ought to have an open membership also. If someone comes here from another Christian tradition, publicly identifying themselves as Christian, having been baptized in another denomination and owning that baptism, who are we to withhold the bread or the cup? And what about the right hand then of fellowship? I don't know anyone who would withhold it. Well, maybe one. There's always at least one or two. But most of us here, I think, buy in to what my boyhood pastor, Hardy Clemens, who was ordained here at this church, used to say. It's more important to be Baptist than it is Southern Baptist. And it's even more important to be Protestant. But most of all, it's most important to be Christian. Let us come to the point of formally and explicitly recognizing the Christ in other Christians. Now, let me tell you why this is so important for us right now. Just last week, we had a Methodist and a Reformed Christian all the way from Schenectady, New York, come and walk the aisle. And why is that? Because the old wineskins do not any longer hold. And neither do the old traditional denominational labels, we are more likely to have a gay-affirming Methodist family come and worship with us and want to be formally a part of us than we are any other Baptists in this city of so-called like faith and practice. I'm telling you that the new wine is bursting the old wineskins, and the old pens that held the sheep together have been broken apart. To wit, the Baptists have already split from the other Baptists over women. And now Methodists are splitting from other Methodists over gays, and Episcopalians are kicking other Episcopalians out of their own churches over both. And so here I am this week, a Baptist who called the exiled Episcopal bishop. Remember, we Baptists aren't even supposed to believe in bishops, much less call them, to tell him that if he and his flock want to worship here for a while, they are more than welcome. All are welcome in this place. Episcopalians, Methodists, even bishops, even Paul of Tarsus. So we may have some Episcopalians here, and we may have some Methodists, and we may have a few more refugee Baptists too, and before you know it, we may begin to actually look like the kingdom of heaven. And that is the vision, isn't it? The goal, this is more than just a practical matter of how to increase our membership. It's something so much more deep than that. The psalm says, "Thou hast set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." For centuries we have been at enmity with one another. The body of Christ has been fractured over Jews and Gentiles, fractured over bishops and baptisms, fractured over race, fractured over slavery, fractured over gender, fractured over the color of the carpet in the fellowship hall. We'll split over anything. But the vision is unity. It is oneness. It is kinship. It is the table of reconciliation that sits here before us. It is the full measure of the body of Christ. And it may just be that here at Broadway, the vision has a chance to become a reality. And the pages of the scriptures fulfilled in our very pews. I have other sheep which do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Not me. Jesus Christ. Pray to God that that will be so. And pray to God that God would give us the right words for a change in our bylaws. the gruff, old, widowed cowboy rancher Charlie Goodnight was 91 years old when he married again and finally found himself in a church by his new bride's doing. After he was baptized, an old friend asked him what kind of church it was that he joined. His answer, a darn good one. Gruff and cowboy as he was, I doubt darn was really the word that he used. But I think you get the point. And it makes me wonder, what kind of church is this? And the answer, a Christian church, Protestant church, an ecumenical church in the Baptist tradition, Christ Church. The church of the Good Shepherd, who brings with him whomever he wills, even lost sheep like me and like you and like whoever it is next who might walk through those doors. Let them come. And all of God's people then said, let them come. Amen.